Yes, indeed. Welcome on into our Treasure Chest Thursday. It is October the 3rd. We are at the bar game, the game bar and grill, sorry, here in the Treasure Chest Casino right next to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Thursday night football on tap, folks. A big one for Saints fans to be interested in. Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That'll be coming up 7 o'clock, of course, here at the casino and on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Mike, first off to bat, though, with the Saints, we got the initial injury report now for Week 5, and it is pretty lengthy, to say the least.
Yeah, we were just taking a look at that. And again, no surprise, because he had posted it on his Instagram page that something had happened with his hand or his arm. Willie Gay was out. Taysom Hill, we heard Coach Dennis Allen talked about
fractured
ribs.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that'll take. Normally that's a couple of weeks, at least four, of you know, to come back from there. Because, I mean, you can put the guard on it, but it's already fractured.
Yeah.
Cesar Ruiz with the knee injury. Shane Lemieux now, I did hear Dennis Allen say he didn't think it was serious with an ankle injury. Peyton Turner with a knee injury. When that happened? And even worse, Blake Groupie with a right hip injury. Man.
He's a right-legged kicker, too, right? Not a lefty.
that ain't good. But, again, the usual suspects on the limited this time of year, and I think you'll probably see him all year long. Taliase Fuaga with the back. Alvin Kamara with the hip and rib injury.
Hip and rib.
Yeah. A.T. Perry, hamstring. Juwan Johnson, forearm. Brian Bursay, he's new to the list, too, with an ankle injury. Chris Olave, hamstring. Cedric Wilson Jr. with an ankle injury. He was a full participant along with Olave. Now, new to the list, Kendra Miller, limited, but he was practicing with the hamstring. You know, Deuce and I were talking about this yesterday. It's going to be sooner than later that Kendra Miller hits the field. Come on, you need him.
Absolutely.
I mean, how long have you been battling this hamstring injury since the
day one of camp? And actually, he was dealing with injury issues in minicamp as well.
My thing is, you need him. This is why you picked him, you know, not to watch.
Also limited today, too. There was a late add to the list was DeMario, still with that hamstring issue.
I think DeMario plays this week. He might have missed one week.
Right.
But I don't think he misses a second one. You get an extra day, certainly, with the Monday night game. And for the Chiefs, Mike Dana, who's limited, Kareem Hunt with the shoulder, who's limited, and Mecole Hardman with a knee that was limited.
Man, they've had terrible luck with wide receivers at Kansas City.
And then Rashid Rice got put on IR today. Now, they'll let that knee sort of, you know, kind of calm down a little bit, and you'll find out the full extent. Initially, it looked as though he would miss the rest of the season. We'll see what happens with that. Nick Bolton, full participant today. I saw when he actually kind of pulled up with the hamstring. And Derek Nnadi with the triceps, he was a full participant. That list is real short. That's the way I look at it. Man.
It's like a quarter of the Saints injury list.
Man, the Saints got a long injury list. But you find out now, because if Cesar Ruiz can play, now you're going to reshuffle your offensive line again.
Right.
Now, again, from what Coach Allen was saying, sounds as though Lemieux's ankle is not serious. Would you make that move and put Lucas Patrick at center if Ruiz is a go at guard, Landon Young at the other guard spot? Would you do that? And because, again, it's going to be a reshuffled lineup if Cesar Ruiz can't answer the bell this week, and again, did not participate. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Positive for me, Mike, not seeing a name like Tyrann Mathieu on here. Obviously was dealing with a few things with the foot, and then I know injured his groin a little bit last game, but not even showing up at the injury report list at all. So that's a huge positive for him. Obviously, going back to Kansas City.
I thought he'd be an LP.
Right, for sure. He's not even listed as a full participant with an injury issue. So, yeah, like I said, that's positive news for Tyron. And as we know, spent some time with Kansas City, won a Super Bowl there. So one of the guys I know got to be looking forward to making a trip back to Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, no question about it. But if you knew you were going to run this type offense and where the running backs are really going to carry a big portion of the load, man, you were really counting on Kendra Miller. You were counting
for sure.
On him. And he's been a no-show. We'll see if he can answer the bell Monday night, but you need him now. And, you know, what Jamal Williams has what touched the ball three times? Oh, the last two games,
right.
What? It shows me you don't really trust that he can carry the workload at any time. I know we had a guy last week. He texted in. Charlie sent me that. He's the best running back we got on the team. What? Come on, dude. I know they got TVs for sale somewhere. Right now, I think, man, you think Alvin's carrying the load last week? He really carried the load Monday night.
And when you see, obviously, the two main running backs for you is Kamara and Hill, and Taysom with fractures in the rib can't be good.
Right. I would be absolutely shocked. Again, you can protect it, but it's already fractured. Actually, Hebert about that. He can tell you about that. He wore that first one. It looked like a barrel was around him. But once it gets, you know, fractured and hurt, you can wear the protective device. It don't do you no good.
No, I talked to him, and he said right away, well, if he wants those ribs to fully heal, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's at least that particular part. And so long injury list, playing a team that, man, they've had some injuries, though. That two starting receivers, starting running back, but their defense has carded them. And that dude named Mahomes can still play. He can still play.
The Monday night matchup in Kansas City going to be a tough one. Obviously, we know that defending back-to-back Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs are 4-0 on the season. Can the black and gold find a way to hand them that first loss? We're going to take a break, be back with more of Sports Talk. We are at the Game Bar and Grill at the Treasure Chest Casino. Hope to see you here. We're here till 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday night football between the Falcons and Bucks will kick off right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Coming right back after this here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Mike Dettillier at the Treasure Chest Casino. Hope you stop by. We're here till 7 o'clock this evening. Then it's Thursday night football, and we got a good one on tap tonight. The Atlanta Falcons hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and do a little scouting on those Bucks as they'll be next up for the Saints after, man, a really short week for New Orleans, where Tampa Bay gets that extra rest heading into a Sunday matchup in the Superdome.
You would figure.
Of course, right.
Yeah. Set up for them. And tonight I know they banged up. But they got a really good young team, Steve. Talk about a quiet rebuild. They were able to do it, you know, with Brady leaving, and then Gronkowski and a number of the guys on the defensive side, the football left out. They got one of the youngest teams in the NFL. They've drafted real well the last 3 years. Big key, though. They hit with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Just when you they think he's washed up, man. He comes back and shows he's got something.
Yeah. And, again, you know, Mike Evans makes a lot of people look good, as Tom Brady said last week. But that defense has really been banged up this year. And the big man in the middle, you know, he's hurting, but he's playing. We'll see what happens tonight. One thing the Saints did not do was get a pass rush on Kirk Cousins last week.
That's a fact.
And, you know, if you can get after him, because he ain't going too far. I know where he's at in the pocket is to get him. Let's see if Tampa does a little bit more from a blitz standpoint. One of the things with Todd Bowles, he's been known to kind of show you something, pull out of, and then show you something else. We'll see what happens tonight, but I think that's a key to basically getting pressure on Cousins. And if you can't throw the football, then I play heavy up front.
Yeah, like you said, there was way too many times he was just picking apart that Saints secondary. He had all day.
He had time to throw. And I don't know what it is with players, but certain players have really good games against certain teams. Tyler Allgeier, every time he plays the Saints, it's not Bijan.
Right.
Bijan catches the ball so well coming out of the backfield. But, man, Tyler Allgeier, we went through the list of like it was a 7-yard run, 11-yard run, 14-yard run. And he was just sort of carving you up. Just his style of runner. He's a shortcut runner, a lot of power in the lower body. He's not going to give you a lot of wiggle. But, man, he hits that hole and he's through it and he pops you but good. So, interesting game tonight. I picked the Bucks, so I'm pulling for Tampa.
Yeah, my wife was asking me, who do I root for tonight? You root for a tie, I told her.
Tie?
It hurts both of them.
Okay, your wife ain't a gambler.
Right, no.
Neither am I, but what I'm saying is it'll be interesting how it's set up tonight because, man, that short week for the Falcons, and they haven't really shown to me the offensive firepower people were talking about before the season. I think they played really better on defense than anybody thought.
Right.
But they haven't played nearly as well on the offensive side of the football. And they suffering with injuries, too, up front along their offensive line.
That'll definitely be a fun one to watch. Obviously, a lot of interest for Saints fans. Looking back at that Saints injury report, obviously, we talked about Kendra Miller back in action for the Saints today. He'd been dealing with a hamstring injury, and Dennis Allen was asked how the running back's doing.
Well, he practiced today, and so we'll just see how he goes, you know, throughout the course of the week, you know. And I think we'll just kind of evaluate where he's at kind of on a day-to-day basis.
What would his return add?
I don't know yet. You know, I mean, I would be hopeful that it would add another playmaker to our team, another guy that can be explosive for us, you know, and I'm hopeful that that's what that is. But I think we need to see him practice, see him perform. I thought he had a good practice today. I thought he did some good things. So it was good to have him back out there.
Yeah, Dennis Allen right there talking about Kendra Millen, and like I really don't know what he can add to this offense right now. We're just hoping he can put in a couple of days of good practice right now leading up to the game.
Man, that ain't no ringing endorsement, Steve.
No, right.
Man, he went all around answering the question.
Sure, and you heard Dennis Allen's frustration at training camp and he kept asking about him. Right, exactly.
Not once, but twice. And so that wasn't a ringing pat on the back for Kendra Miller. Come on, go out there and do it. That's why they picked you in the third round. But if you got a hamstring injury to start training camp and you still fool it dealing with that, man, that would last a long time.
Looking also at the injuries, Dennis Allen asked about the status of Taysom Hill and those rib injuries. Is it something for Taysom where they're broken?
He's got fractures, you know, but exactly, you know, what all they are.
Don't exactly know what all they are. He just would say fractures with the rib injury, and definitely something that was on a different side than the initial chest injury Taysom had suffered going into the year. So, man, oh, man, just everything in Taysom's, you know, midsection there has got to be sore.
Yeah, he's telling you, you're not finding out what I know. I can read that between the lines, too.
Short and sweet, right.
Yeah, but come on, he's such a big part of this offense. We saw when he went down in the second quarter, the offense didn't run as well. Didn't. And so, man, you're missing a big cog there, not having Taysom in the lineup as a runner, receiver, and the threat. Every time he's in the huddle of where is he going to line up.
Exactly.
And
you
don't have a lot of time
about that right away.
You don't have a lot of times to adjust to it.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to go to Kansas City, talk to Bob Fesco, who's a host on 610 Sports Radio out there. Get a little gauge on this Kansas City Chiefs team. Sure, they're winning ugly, but 4-0 is sure a lot prettier than 2-2, and the Chiefs know how to close out games. So definitely a scary, dangerous matchup in hostile Arrowhead Stadium, one of the loudest venues, the venues that the Saints will have to face on the road. Come back, get a gauge on those Chiefs when we get back off right here at the Treasure Chest Casino on Sports Talk here on WWL. Who dat? Yes, indeed. Countdown to Thursday Night Football, NFC South battle between those Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But for the Saints Nation, getting ready for also Monday Night Football, which will be in Kansas City. The 4-0 Chiefs helping us break that matchup down. Bob Fesco, host on 610 Sports Radio KC. Bob, how you been, man?
I've been good, man. How about you guys?
We're doing all right, you know, getting ready for a matchup Monday in a very hostile Arrowhead Stadium, definitely one of the scarier venues the Saints will have to visit this season. And I know all hasn't been perfect in KC, even though there's a 4-0 record right now. They just found the way to close out games and to come out with that win. And you got to give credit to the quarterback and Patrick Mahomes. I know he hasn't had the greatest start to the season, but in the end, when you got that guy leading your team, you're always in the game. We know that obviously from having Drew Brees here all these years.
Bob, the best part is that defense backing him up, right?
Well, the thing is, the defense has been playing awesome. I mean, that's the reason why this team is 4-0. It really doesn't have much to do with Patrick Mahomes. He's been very, very mid, as the kids like to say these days. You know, at the quarterback spot, he's been off. He's thrown a couple of interceptions. He, you know, knocked Rashee Rice out for at least four games. So it hasn't been exactly a great start to the season. for the quarterback, but when it matters most, he knows how to win football games. And that's what it's about. You don't have to win games with style points in the NFL. And I think sometimes people get lost in that. Like, oh my God, why aren't they winning by 40? Well, because you don't win by 40 in the NFL. You know, you win by 6, and that's considered a blowout these days, you know, in the league. And offense has come back to the pack in the entire league. Nobody's thrown for over 300 yards. Defenses have ramped up. They've gotten better over the last couple of years. Better athletes are playing on the defensive side of the football. And so they're doing what they have to do to find ways to win. And, you know, I think some people are still living in 2018 and think every season is going to be 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards out of Patrick Mahomes. But he's learned how to win games with the talent that he has and with what the defense has given him. And if they're taking away the deep ball and all that, we'll just, you know, dunk it down underneath and feel good about ourselves and get out of there with a win.
Bob, one of the things, you guys have had a ton of injuries on the offensive side of football. Been a little luckier, certainly on the defensive side of football. Lost a couple key cogs. Willie Gay signs on with the Saints. And Darius Sneed, man, I go back a long way with him when he was in high school. And I know he really didn't want to leave Kansas City, but it came down to finances. They deal him off to the Titans. The defense, how well that they have selected players. You know, you look at that team for the most part defensively, those are all draft choices. They rarely have early round misses on the defensive side of the football. That has really been the calling card for the start of the season last year and then again this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really has been, and it's good of you to notice that, because most people just truly focus on the offense when it comes to the Chiefs. But really, for the last couple of years, Brett Beach has been quietly stockpiling talent on the defensive side. George Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie in the same draft in the same first round. I mean, come on now, what are we doing? And then you go out and you sign, you know, Justin Reed to come in and take over for the Honey Badger after they, you know, let him go, and he ended up signing down there with you guys. He's playing like he's a rookie. I mean, he's just dominating. His performance last week against the Chargers, my God, I mean, makes you want to smoke a pack of cigarettes after watching him play. Stopping the run, getting sacks, pressure on the quarterback. Like, he's found a new lease on life, and he's getting paid, and he's earning all his money. And, you know, Nick Bolton started out a little bit slow, but he's starting to play better now at that linebacker position. He's kind of the captain of that defense. But, I mean, if you really want the cheat code to the NFL, teams need to pay attention to what Brett Beach is doing, because 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, he started really using high draft picks on the defensive side of the football. And look where we are now in this era of the NFL. Defenses may be better than offenses right now in this league. Very rarely are you seeing a 30-point effort anymore. And, you know, quarterbacks aren't throwing for 300 yards like we talked about. The overs aren't hitting and the underdogs are winning. And, you know, like Brett Beach kind of saw this coming. He saw this coming, you know, in the past as well with the way that he goes out there and drafts. He just has a knack of knowing what's coming next in the NFL. And for the last 2 years, man, he's just been loading up on the defensive side of the ball. Felix Anudike Uzama was picked a year ago in the first round, and he kind of had a red shirt year last year, but he's getting pressure on the quarterback now. And, you know, it's just remarkable to watch how this organization seemingly is a year or two ahead of the rest of the NFL.
With the running back situation, losing Pacheco, which I think he's an underrated part of that offense and what he's brought to the table as a seventh-round pick. But, you know, Brett was able to bring in a young man that I saw him play at Indiana, and he goes to UCLA, and Carson Steele at running back. Is he going to carry the load? Because I know with Samaje Perine, he's more of a receiver coming out of the backfield, catches the ball really well, and then they bring in the veteran Kareem Hunt. So, man, that's a major loss in not having Pacheco in the backfield, and you're counting on the Rook to take a lot more carries than you probably thought once he made the football team.
Well, and you know, I think you and I have a better chance of carrying the football before Carson Steele does at this point in time. I mean, he's had two fumbles in the last couple of weeks. You fumble once as a young guy, Andy puts you right back in there. You fumble a second time, you don't see the field much after that. And so it's a good thing they went out and got Kareem Hunt, who looked really good the other day. I mean, for a guy who hasn't done anything since January, it looked like he'd been playing football. So I'm like, all right, I kind of like what I see, you know, with him. But that loss of Pacheco really is big. And you mentioned the seventh-round draft pick. I mean, he was the guy that was taken, I want to say, the year after COVID, and kind of got lost in that COVID shuffle where guys were getting an extra year and staying around, and people kind of forgot about Isaiah Pacheco. So when he was sitting there in the seventh round and Brett picked him, I'm like, that's a really nice pick. And then going to training camp that year he was drafted, I'm like, damn, this kid looks good. He looks really, really good. And he's been really, really good for this team. The other good news, bit of good news for the Chiefs is as you get, you know, to the point where you get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back now. He's missed his four games, and I think he's eligible to come off the list this week. And so we'll see if he's a guy that's going to be, you know, part of this offense going forward and what he can bring to the table. And I still think they're counting on him, even though he hasn't, you know, played yet this season and he's dealing with his stuff off the field. I still think they're counting on him, and I still think he can be a big part to this offense as well from that running back position. But, I mean, as long as you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they figure things out. They lose guys. They create a new playbook. They create new plays. They create a new philosophy. They implement that philosophy all week, and they go out there and they execute on Sundays. And so, I mean, like, guys get hurt all the time in the NFL, and people are like, aren't you upset that Rashee Rice is hurt, that Pacheco is hurt? I'm like, nah, I got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They'll figure this thing out. And Steve Spagnuolo knows how to coordinate a defense. He'll give up a touchdown or a field goal on the first drive, but you ain't seen the red zone after that.
Rice, to me, though, had really emerged this year before the injury, and he had some off-the-field issues too. But lose Hollywood Brown before the season even starts, and then to lose Rice, man, because, you know, you spent a few nickels, so to speak, to bring in Hollywood Brown, and you were counting on Rice. Now that's seemingly not going to be there. Is this a team that you could see in the past that they kind of featured their offense to Travis Kelce to get that more? And not that Kelce's not still a productive player, but he's not the guy of a few years back. But they're playing a lot more tight end sets, I see today. So how big of a change is that going to make offensively without Rice? And are we going to see a lot more? And they always did it with a couple tight ends to begin with. Will we see more of that from the Chiefs offense?
Well, they paid Noah Gray like the week before the season started, their backup tight end who they drafted a couple of years ago. We're like, that's weird. You know, you're paying this guy who, I don't know, didn't really do much, but they gave him an extension and they gave him some money. So I would think because of that, he's probably going to be featured a little bit more, you know, now in the offense. I'm not a Travis Kelce truther or whatever you want to call it, where people think he's lost the step, because I saw what he did last week. I mean, he's still the focal point of this offense, and teams are still going out there and trying to take him out of the game in every situation that he's in. They know that he can beat you on one play. So I'm not to that level with Travis Kelce. I still think he's a hell of a football player, and I wouldn't be sleeping on him if I were the Saints, you know, this week. But I'd like to get Gray involved. Devin Wiley's another kid that they drafted at tight end this year, you know, and they have real high hopes for him. I'd like to see him get involved more. But, you know, Xavier Worthy from Texas is the fastest guy that's ever been to the combine. And so, I mean, they're going to start throwing the football to him. They still have Juju Smith-Schuster in that arsenal right now. Mecole Hardman, a very underrated, underutilized player in the past with Kansas City. I think he has an opportunity to make an impact. And so they're going to do some stuff we probably haven't seen in quite a while from that offense, and some stuff that we're kind of scratching our heads and going, man, I didn't know they had that in their playbook. But when they get these injuries, they have to adjust. And that's part of the reason also, too, they've been able to stay on top, because they don't let injuries bog them down. They don't get flustered. They don't get frustrated by, you know, their team losing a player. They just move on, next man up, and they figure it out. And it's a great mentality and a great mindset to have, and it works.
Bob, you mentioned Xavier Worthy. What have been the early reviews on the Chiefs' first-round pick?
He can run.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody that fast. He had Tyreek Hill for a while, you know. And I mean, this guy, boy, he can burn it down the field, and he's got great hands. And, you know, it's fun, you know. Like, sometimes we forget that it's okay just to say it's fun in sports to watch these guys. We're trying to come up with these creative takes and ways to, you know, talk about it. But Xavier Worthy is just fun, and he gets past those defensive backs and runs by him and waves and, you know, catches the ball, touchdown, and it's 54 yards or whatever it is. And you're like, man, that was wild. That was awesome. And so he'll probably get more involved as well. I think he's going to be the guy that kind of takes over those slant patterns that Rashee Rice had in the first couple of weeks that I love so much. And I could see Xavier Worthy going across the middle, Patrick hitting him in stride and just zoom right to the end zone for a touchdown. And Arrowhead goes wild as they're watching the, you know, the Chiefs do their action on the field and the Royals on the phone, because Monday night's going to be a big night here in Kansas City.
Bob, the impact of Chris Jones, got to see him in high school and then certainly covering him in the SEC at Mississippi State. And he was a guy, he got freakish talent. Now, in college, it depended on when he wanted to play. And talking to Brandon Daly. He comes to our Louisiana line camp every year, and also the Chiefs' defensive line coach. And they were talking about Chris that, man, when he's revved up, that's nobody that's going to block him. And Pete Jenkins, 83-year-old defensive line coach who's been all over, also has worked with the Chiefs defensive lineman. He made the comment to me, he said, Aaron Donald is the best interior pass rusher I've ever seen in my lifetime. But he doesn't play to run like Chris Jones does. He said, I think he's underrated for what he does against the run. And he said, man, he influences the quarterback as soon as he steps on the field. So the impact you've seen and the progression with Chris, well, I think with his maturity as a player, I think you see it today.
You do, and it's a good observation because he does play good against the run. And, you know, a lot of times we just give the defensive lineman credit because they got a sack or they affected the pass or whatever the case may be. But Chris Jones was great last week against the run. I mean, he's been great all year against the run. The Chiefs have been great all year against the run. Nobody's running on, you know, these guys at all. I mean, Bijan Robinson, I don't even know that he suited up 2 weeks ago for the Atlanta Falcons. That's how, you know, good they did. I think they held him to like 39 yards or something like that. So, you know, Chris Jones is a big reason why. But also, too, they've got a lot of good defensive linemen that they can just rotate in. It's the Spags calling card. You know, when you have these guys on defense, on the defensive line, that you can go two in some positions three deep, you're keeping guys fresh all the time. So Chris Jones is never going to be tired. He's never going to be gassed. He's just going to be out there making plays.
Bob, definitely appreciate the time. Thank you for some insights on the Chiefs.
Thank you, Bob.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Host of 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. The Saints will be there Monday taking on the 4-0 Chiefs. We'll have that for you, obviously, WWLAMFM.com and, of course, on the Odyssey app. We are at the Treasure Chest Casino. Make sure you stop by the Game Bar and Grill and say hi. Stick around for Thursday Night Football, the Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers kicking it off at 7 p.m. We're going to take a break and be back with more of Sports Talk right after this on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino, the Game Bar and Grill out in Kenna, Louisiana. Mike, we're getting ready for a Thursday night contest. I think obviously has a huge interest for Saints fans because of it's an NFC South divisional matchup, and obviously just played the Falcons. They improved to 2-2 in the season, and right now the Bucs in the lead in the division at 3-1. So curious to see how this one shakes out. Not really sure who you root for in this one as a Saints fan.
Well, I picked Tampa, so I'm pulling.
There you go. Go with the money.
But you know, if I'd have picked for Atlanta, I'd pick them. But pull for them. But again, this franchise is both sort of looking at it a little bit different. Atlanta, veteran football team on both sides of the football, very experienced offensive line before the injuries. You got Kirk Cousins at quarterback. You got your next guy. He's waiting in the wings. You know, when Kurt starts to sort of downhill it a little bit, Michael Penix. But man, I'm just so impressed. Similar to Kansas City on how the Bucs have drafted the last 3 years.
Right.
And you think about, give me a big-name free agent they've signed over the last 2 years. Baker's been it.
Right, I was going to say, exactly.
And that's it. They basically have built this team through the draft and have done a great job of finding players that fit what they do. And they do best offensively, defensively, and on special teams. So it's crazy to see that they were 3 years ago the oldest team in the NFL, and now they're one of the youngest. And it goes to show you, you know, Gronk and Brady put a little bit of age on that on that team too. Man, they've done a super job.
Coming up next hour on Sports Talk, got a special guest coming in, Steve Foley, former Denver Broncos safety.
Yeah, I know him a little bit.
Just with Tulane Star getting inducted into the Broncos Ring of Honor.
Yep, congratulations to Steve. Great honor. Didn't see him at Jesuit, but I saw him at Tulane.
We'll hear more back from him right after this on WWL.